This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, good morning, church. I guess we don't need to start with, this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice. Oh, okay, let's do it. Let's try that one more time. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. We're glad you're here to worship with us this morning. I am going to jump around just a little bit with our order of worship while we are still sitting. Let me just go through a couple of quick announcements. There are several on the back of the bulletin, and I'm not going to read in detail all of those, but I will highlight and add a little bit more details. The pastor's Bible study that we've been having on Thursdays afternoons, this week we are in chapters 5 through 7. So if you're reading along, just chapters 5 and 7 this week, and we'd love to have you come and join the study if you're able to. The other thing I'd like to note is this coming Saturday, June 28th, we have our monthly soup kitchen, and we open the doors to the community at 11:30, but we are in need of volunteers. If you could come as early as 11 a.m. It sounds like our volunteer cooks and chefs have the kitchen under control, but we can certainly use more help to kind of be with the community as they come and fellowship with us on Saturday morning. So just a reminder on that. I'd also like to highlight next Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock in Douglas, we will be having our South Central District Conference at Douglas First United Methodist Church at 5 p.m. So we're all welcome as a church to come and celebrate and hear the business of our new South Central District with our district superintendent, Reverend Henry Bass. Are there other announcements to lift up before the church this morning? Okay, if not, then I invite you to stand and let's join in our call to worship. It's number 749 in your hymnals. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry.
Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit.
From you let my vindication come.
Let your eyes see the light.
If you try my heart, if you visit me by night.
If you test me, you will find no weakness in me. My mouth does not transgress.
Concerning what others do, I have avoided the ways of the violent by following your word.
My steps have been fast in your paths, my feet have not slipped.
I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God.
Incline your ear to me, hear my words.
Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand.
As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied and behold in your presence.
And as we remain standing, let's turn in our hymn books to 571. 571, as the focus of today, is on Matthew 28:19. So let's go make of all disciples, number 571. We hear the call of God that
Go make of all disciples, we at thy feet would stay, until its last vocation accepts thy holy will. We cultivate the nature God plants in.
Now let's greet each other since we're standing up in the name of the Lord.
Into your seats before you sit down. I caught most of you. Let us stand and join in our affirmation of faith. And this week it's number 880 in our hymnal, and it's also printed in our bulletins. It's the Nicene Creed. So, church, let's share together what we believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. A couple of individuals, they don't know it yet. We have several kids that will be heading to Epworth tomorrow morning for a week of fun-filled activities, and we have one who just returned on Friday. So I'm going to ask as I read some information, if those that have attended Epworth this summer or will be attending this coming week, if they'll just come forward and stand. And I'd like to take this moment just to share a little bit about Epworth by the Sea. I heard a yes, but let's, for those that have been there, we all know Epworth by the Sea is a great place to be. I'd like to share just a little bit about Epworth by the Sea, and it's actually taken from the report that was presented by Charles Adams, the superintendent there, at our annual conference a couple of weeks ago. Let me just, for those who aren't real familiar with Epworth, let me just share these couple of thoughts. Gathering with friends and family at beautiful Epworth by the Sea is one of the greatest joys for South Georgia United Methodist. There's a strong tradition of love, appreciation, and support that began when our gates opened in 1950. Generations have come for worship, Bible study, and Christian fellowship. Many have sought, found, and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Many have been uplifted and renewed. Many have found the peace that passes all understanding. We give thanks for all God has done on these holy grounds. We see God's miracles of nature out our windows and across our campus. We learn about countless miracles in the lives of our guests. We recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit. As the days go by, our faith grows. Our appreciation for the friends of Epworth who offer us their prayers, their presence, and their financial partnership is ever increasing. From the time the sun rises over the steeple on Lovely Lane Chapel until the sun sets across the Rush River Walk, we watch expectantly for new miracles for our ministry of hospitality and fresh ideas for expanding our programs to meet the needs of God's people. In this report that he presented to annual conference, he lists the number of guests that participated at or attended Epworth by the Sea and the total number of groups. Would anyone like to estimate the number of guests that attended Epworth by the Sea last year? This number astounded me when I read this in the report. 94,620 individuals attended Epworth by the Sea in 2013. And that consisted of 800 groups. He concludes his report, "This holy place belongs to every member of the South Georgia Annual Conference. Our gates are always open to all whose goals are consistent with our purpose, to provide a Christian place for worship, Bible study, and fellowship. Please come for a visit as often as possible. The Holy Spirit is dwelling on these holy grounds. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them," from Matthew. Grace and Peace from Charles Adams, the superintendent. So I'd just like to kind of put the kids this morning on the spot. Now, John just returned from a week-long camp. John, what was one thing that stood out about camp?
Boys are so totally outmatched. There are 70 girls and there are 35 boys.
Okay. All right. Now, what about Dale? You've been there before. What are you looking forward to this coming week?
I'm looking forward to having all-you-can-eat buffet.
The buffet. I hear you on that one. Yeah. Elizabeth, Juliana, any kind of thoughts about your first time going to camp at Upworth?
I asked Johnny, he said Wednesday was really special because they were going to have some cool water, and I think it's going to be a water balloon fight.
Okay, the games and activities. Elizabeth, any thoughts to share? Getting away from the parents. All right. Well, let's just have a moment of prayer as we lift up Upworth this morning. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your beauty of creation and for the place that you've given to us as South Georgia United Methodists called Upworth by the Sea. We ask that as this summertime continues on, that you bless and watch over the leaders and the staff at Upworth, and you open the hearts and the minds of all those that will be attending the camps and activities. You just give them an opportunity to draw closer to you. We ask for safe travels as our next group of kids prepare to go to camp tomorrow, and just ask for your safety and protection over them. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. All right, guys, thank you. Yes?
I want to share something about it. My daughter was in college. For 2 summers, she started.
Absolutely. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Roger, go ahead. I was just going to ask that question.
With camp at
Everett. Once again. You know, and I see on the faces of those that didn't raise their hand, what am I missing out on? And you know, there's plenty of opportunities. Epworth is a wonderful place to go just as individuals to participate in any of the Bible studies and activities. The food there is wonderful. We love their salad bar. And they actually, always speak about that. They have a museum there as well. And last summer, Bruce and I spent more time in there than I think we had originally intended. But that's where we store all of the church history and records from all of the churches in the South Georgia Conference. Wealth of information there, as well as the museum and nativity displays. So always need to find that opportunity to go, even if it's just for a day trip to just kind of walk around the campus or any type of retreat that's offered there and teaching time. Okay. You know, I always ask this question as we head into our prayer time. What joys do we have to share with each other this morning? Amen. And we have Jane Ray here today. I knew that. That's awesome.
I'm getting better.
today, 3 years ago, God blessed me with my little boy. We've been through a lot of sickness and health, but God's brought us through it all. And he's not with me physically right now, but he's still with me and blesses me every day.
That Jim's third birthday today. Amen. I will share, I think it was announced in church last week that we actually, Bruce and I had an opportunity last weekend to take a personal retreat time. And of course, our place of choice was Upworth by the Sea. And so it was just a beautiful, relaxing experience and definitely some healing time for Bruce as well as he continues in his process of healing. What about our concerns to lift up this morning? What's on our hearts?
Eleanor.
Eleanor.
A young man, DJ
Magnus,
was in that
motorcycle last night. Okay. We were just mentioning DJ Mabry was in a motorcycle accident last night. So prayers for healing. Oh, wonderful. Okay, Carolyn's sister Ethel is healing.
Esther.
We've
got two people that have had joint replacements, Janice Ernst, and I know that she's going to rehab at the nursing home in the city, and Dan Stone, who I've heard is doing very well.
Mercies for our children.
Absolutely. Our children traveling to Epworth tomorrow and the wonderful leaders who have volunteered to take them to camp tomorrow. We know that's going to be a noisy car ride over there and cramped with all the luggage and accessories that they'll need. And we have many in our church family this week traveling for vacations and business and different things. So we lift them up for safe travels as well. Elizabeth shared in Sunday school this morning that the schools in Tifton have had several times with bomb threats, and apparently there was another one recently. Piece of paper. Certainly, as we look at our world and our country, we need to lift up those that have been affected by the tornadoes this past week. Right. Any other requests? Let's go before our Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. We come with gratitude and thankfulness for the blessings we enjoy from your hands. All that we are and all that we have come from you, and we owe it all to you. We remember your goodness in the past, and we rejoice in your closeness right now, and we know that you have the power for the needs of the future. How blessed we are as individuals and as a church and as a nation. We glorify and honor and worship you. Father, there's needs among us today. There's not one here that doesn't have definite and particular needs. You didn't promise us that the world would be easy, and you didn't say that there would be no problems or difficult situations, but you did promise us your mercy and your grace, and you did say that you would be with us. And that your grace would be sufficient. And we have found that to be true. In our troubles and trials, and when the road seemed long, you have been right there with us, and you've seen us through. Father, we ask for a special word of comfort this morning for those who have lost loved ones. Help them to feel your presence, and help them to find the grace to go on. We pray for the suffering and those with physical needs. Touch them physically and emotionally, and uplift them spiritually. We pray for those that are struggling with family relationships that are heartbreaking and seem to be beyond hope. Lord, you know just how to minister the word of hope that they need for this day. And as we lift our personal request to you, Lord, help us to reach through the doubts and questions and to trust you for the answers. We look to you with faith and confidence. Thank you for hearing our silent prayers. Lord, we bring the needs of our nation to you today. We lift up our president and cabinet and advisors, the men and women of Congress and the courts of the land. We remember our military all around the world. We pray for peace and for the defeat of the powers of evil that are active. You, O God, are still on the throne, and you have all the power in heaven and on earth, and we do know how everything is going to turn out, because we know that you and righteousness and holiness will triumph. And so today we glorify and honor you, and we praise your holy name. And in the name of Jesus, we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We continue in our worship time this morning. If you would, turn to number 576. Number 576 in your hymnal, Rise Up, O Men of God. So let's do that.
Rise up, O men of God, have done great lesser things.
And let's pray as our ushers prepare to come forward. O God of all power and might, we come this day as your children gathered through your love. We seek to be your faithful disciples, and in so doing, we bring forth gifts as expression of our love to you. May these gifts become the blessings by which others may receive the fullness of your love as well. Find us faithful, O God, in the midst. This we humbly pray with grateful hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord for a children's sermon, please.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to hear me low, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Well, good morning. I have a question. Does anybody afraid of anything? Something you're afraid of? Yeah? What is it?
Sometimes I'm afraid of the dark when it's like raining really hard.
Yeah, Miss Brittany doesn't like the dark and bad weather either. Juliana?
Snakes and spiders, because there was a spider in the pool that we were swimming in. A wolf spider.
Snakes.
Snakes?
Dale, you're not afraid of anything, are you? Your brother. My big brother scares me sometimes. Well, when we are afraid, what's something that we're supposed to do? Juliana?
Pray.
Pray, that's a good thing to do. We like to pray. I think everybody prays when they get afraid. Well, I mentioned a while ago, today is James's birthday, and he is 3 today. So he is just starting to figure out what fear is. And he's starting to run to Mama, and Mama, it gets me. So what I tell James, and I'll tell him, James, we turn in our Bible and we turn to Jeremiah 28 and verse 11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans of peace and not evil, and this is what is expected unto you." So I tell James, don't be afraid, because God is always in control of our lives. God is always going to be there to protect you and to guide you and to make sure that even though bad things come our way, that He's still going to be there to get you through it. And even though it's okay to be a little bit scared sometimes, it's also okay for you to stand up and say, "You know what? I'm not going to be afraid, because God is on my side. And with God, I can do anything as long as it's in His will." Okay? So can we pray together? Dear Jesus, I thank you today for all of these beautiful children that you have sent down front, Lord. I pray that you'll give them strength and you'll give them courage, Lord, to be stand up and to be strong in you, and to know that you call peace upon our lives, Lord. And you don't call us to be afraid, but you call us to be warriors for you. And I thank you for everything that you've taught us today. And I pray that you'll be with each of them as they go out into this week. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, go back to your seats.
Thank you.
Dennis, and thank you, choir. That was a beautiful song. In keeping with our theme of changing a couple of things in the bulletin this morning, our scripture verse is taken out of Matthew, but it's taken from chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. I invite you to stand as we read from the Word of God. Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 24. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Church, this is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. You may be seated. I have some tough questions this week. So my first question is, what have you done in Christ's name this past week? Have you ever been asked that question? It's tough to answer. What will you be doing in Christ's name this week? You know, maybe we shouldn't think about last week or about tomorrow, but what have you done in Christ's name today? It's almost noon. The day is half over. When I was asked by our district superintendent if I would lead worship today, I thought I could have an easy week preparing. See, if Bruce is on vacation, then certainly I should be as well. And since we worshiped in another church last week, I could easily replicate that message and no one would really know, right? But then I listened to Thomas's message last week, and being trained in lay speaking together, well, he stole my thunder. He was able to incorporate into his testimony and message about fathers the church's celebration of Trinity Sunday. Honestly, I love the way he explained how we are now in this ordinary time with the church calendar, but that we should really consider it extraordinary time. Christians have been quite busy over the past few months. It seems like the Christmas decorations were barely put away when we began celebrating the season of Lent and Easter, the Ascension, Pentecost, and Trinity Sunday. Those are celebrations we affirm each Sunday in our affirmation of faith. But this week, we begin our journey of ordinary time and will continue in this season until Advent. So what is our responsibility as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, as a person sitting in the pew this morning at First United Methodist Church, supposed to do during this church season? How do we make this ordinary time extraordinary? Our Methodist Church explains this season as a period of seeking the Spirit's guidance and supporting one another as we undertake these ministries in Christ's name. So, church, let me ask you the question again. What are you going to do during this ordinary time to support one another and take on the ministries Christ is calling us to in our homes, in our church, in our community, and in the world? Last Sunday's gospel lectionary reading was from Matthew chapter 28. We know the passage. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching to obey everything Jesus commanded. Jesus then gives us the promise that he will always be with us to the very end of the age. I love it when the message is clear, concise, and easy to remember. Go, baptize, teach. When our two oldest children were in elementary school, the church theme we were attending was Win, Disciple, Glorify. As a family, we still remember that message. Last week's teaching was no different. Go, baptize, teach. So maybe that scripture sounds like that's what the preacher should be doing, not you and I who sit on the pews each Sunday. We can simply excuse ourselves from Jesus' command because within the United Methodist Church, we view baptism as a sacrament, something we call upon elders and appointed clergy to perform. And if we can claim that it's the pastor's responsibility to baptize, then logically, it's the pastor's job to go and make disciples and to teach Christians to obey everything. If we place restrictions like that on part of Jesus' command, then surely we don't have to follow any of it, right? Go, baptize, teach. We can leave that to someone else, perhaps those called into ministry. And if we can reason our way out of a seemingly comfortable command from Jesus to go and make disciples, then how do we apply the message in our scripture reading for today? If we were to look at the beginning of chapter 10, we would hear of Jesus calling the 12 disciples and preparing to send them out with a set of instructions. Our reading picks up midway through those instructions. It's a transition time for the disciples. Chapter 10, you could say, is a turning point in this gospel. Matthew is not simply telling the story about Jesus, but now it's about his disciples. The disciples have been there the whole time, following Jesus from town to town and house to house. They've been watching him teach, healing the sick, casting out demons, and forgiving. Now Jesus is telling them they are not to just watch him or go on learning from him, but they are to go out and replicate his teachings. These are life-changing words Jesus is speaking this morning. For the disciples, Christian mission was never about what they were capable of doing, but what God was capable of. It's no longer what do we believe Jesus can do for us, but what do we believe Jesus will do through us? Today, Jesus is calling us to understand in new ways what it means to be his disciples, the cost we will have to undergo. It's not an invitation to honor and glory, but for sacrifice and suffering. When we understand that we, both individually and as a church, are about the ministry of Jesus Christ, we place ourselves in the position to undergo persecution. You know, for anyone who has studied marketing or public relations in school, you could easily struggle with or question the way Jesus packages his message. Maybe Jesus should focus less on the potential suffering angle and more on the eternal reward. If Jesus conformed to the ways of our society today, what do you think he would say to his disciples now? Just do what you can, when you can. Don't worry if you don't feel like it. Church, is this what he's saying to us? Come and follow me in your own time. No pressure. No. He didn't say that to his disciples, and then he is certainly not saying that to us today. He told them that their new way of life was going to be tough. History tells us that they rose to the occasion. These early Christians were brave, self-sacrificing in their commitment to Jesus and to the church. What about us? Are we brave? Are we self-sacrificing in our commitment to Jesus and to the church? During this ordinary season in our church's life, we must train ourselves to be brave Christians, giving generously of ourselves. We need to be willing to take a risk with others, our money, our time, our energy, as we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance and support. Jesus told his disciples that they do not have to be afraid, that they would be protected and guided. He told them that they were precious in the eyes of God. He reassured them that although their feelings and bodies might be hurt, no harm would come to their souls. Last Sunday, Bruce and I had the wonderful opportunity to close our retreat and personal worship time by joining with others for worship at Lovely Lane Chapel. I love the mindset of Christians on a beautiful island on Sunday mornings. Within 30 minutes, we followed the full basic pattern of worship, and shortly afterwards, we were on the beach relaxing in the warm sun. The Lord spoke through those 30 minutes. Before me, he continued to speak as we rested on the beach. See, like any other Sac family beach visit, I needed to find that perfect seashell to add to our collection at home, a collection we started about 25 years ago. And at high tide on Sunday morning, I knew it was going to be a challenge. As I walked along the shore looking for that one seashell, all I could find were the broken ones. I didn't want broken ones. I didn't want shells that had been tossed about in the waves, walked on by other beachgoers, and left to be pulled back into the water during the next high tide. Walking further and further along the shore, I knew that it was going to be a challenge to find that perfect shell. But I didn't want to give up. I didn't want to break our family tradition. It was then that God spoke, encouraging me to pick up those broken, tattered shells that no one else wanted. Those broken shells are a reminder to me that if I am to follow Jesus and obey his commands, I'm not going to be perfect. I'm broken and weak. But Jesus reminded me that I am precious and loved by him. Loved and worth more than the sparrows. My heavenly Father knows the number of hairs on my head. And you know what? You are a precious child of God. And he tells us this morning, you are worth more than many sparrows, and he knows the number of hairs on your head. Brothers and sisters, we can continue to search for that perfect shell. We can search for that perfect Christian to sit in the pew in front of us, beside us, behind us. Or we can obey Jesus. We can go from this place of worship this morning with the assurance that He is with us. He loves us. He considers us worthy. And with that promise, we can obey His command to go into this world to find the broken, tattered people and share God's love with them. You see, I believe that if we take this extraordinary time serious and seek the Holy Spirit's guidance and support one another, then the ministries that God desires for this church will flourish and grow. So what are you going to do this week? With God's grace, when we come back together next Sunday to worship, how will you answer the question I first asked? Church, what have you done in Christ's name this past week? Let us pray. Gracious God, it's not easy doing what you've asked us to do, but because you go with us, we dare to submit ourselves to your work in our lives. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, which allows us to have courage to stand firm and to do the work you have called us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of invitation this morning is number 569. Number 569, we have a story to tell all the nations. Let's stand and sing.
We have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light.
To tell to the nations. So now go and tell your story of God's love. Amen and amen.